Good morning, good day, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag Coach to Coach, Hashtag We Talk on Mondays. This is your host, Francisco. And today we have a fellow coach from Iceland. She is, let me try to say her name the best I can, Ingibor Greines.
Yeah.
Not good? Good enough?
That was, yeah, it was really good, Francisco.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Good morning to you, or good evening, good afternoon to you, yes.
Hi.
Well, the first question we have, as usual in my this podcast, is thank you very much for being here, Inka. And just tell us, who is Ingibor?
Yeah, I'm just a small girl from Iceland who has traveled all over the world. Mm-hmm. And by traveling, I learned a lot of about people, and we are all just people that are trying to do their best in this world. Yeah. And that's why I became a coach, and I call myself a mindset and performance coach.
Okay.
And I have a degree in positive psychology. So I use PPI, positive psychology intervention, when I coach people. And I also use a lot of gratitude, forgiveness and compassion to help my clients to achieve their goals. But my professional background is from management. I've been a manager. In a leadership role, basically all my life. Yeah, and let me tell, I am 52. I have two children and a one dog, and I work from home, so helping people over the internet. But yeah, back to my professional background. So I was in this hardcore leadership role in like gaming industry and financial industry.
Yes.
And but it doesn't matter. It's all about helping people. We are just people. So coaching is my new passion.
Okay. I heard that just in your introduction, it's like you're in the gratitude, forgiveness and compassion of the people. Just
yeah.
Want to know, you know, if you can give you a couple of lines, what does exactly mean?
It's about giving, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could say it's about you give more than you receive. So if you, it's an art, and I'm not saying that I'm good at it, but I learned the hard way that you have to forgive to be able to be to give, and you have to be thankful to be able to give, and you have to be able to understand people and see them and give them their space, and just, it's about other people, not me, when I'm helping. And when you are helping, you are giving. So it's, when you use gratitude, forgiveness and compassion, it helps you to give. And people that are givers, they have more success in their life, basically, and they get more.
Okay, I see. Well, you're not seeing all this. You're not seeing the smile of Ingibor when you were saying that successful people are there because they're able to give more. That's what I understood, right?
Yeah. That's the message. Thank you.
Actually, the thing, I totally agree what you said here, is because of I'm a Catholic practitioner, and one of the things we always say is that we have to give first before to receive.
Yeah.
Sort of, well, that's the what we have in our thing. So I suppose we're talking about the same matter here. But yeah, but I'm interested about to talk, if you don't mind, about this kind of structure. How in the coaching, right? In the coaching session, on the coaching practice that you do, how do you work with individuals in this sense, that their gratitude, their forgiveness and compassion?
Well, we have to start with your strength and your values and help people to find their, basically their values. Because if you are lost or on a crossroads, I often talk about crossroads, and there are four types of crossroads. The first crossroads is you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then you're doing, and the second crossroad is you're doing something that because you, someone tells you to do things. And then you're doing things, third crossroad, you're doing things for other people and it makes sense to do it. I mean, it makes sense not to smoke. It's unhealthy. It makes sense to eat healthy. And it makes sense to sleep well. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are make sense and you should do it, but you maybe don't do it. And it has, then we need to look into the values of the people. Why aren't you doing it? And mostly you are doing all of those things because the environment tells you to do it, the society tells you to do it, and people around you, people that love you, tells you to do it. But they are suppressing you, really. So you need to find the way to go to your fourth crossroads, which are the crossroads that usually helps you to make things happen. And when you just, okay, I don't give a, I don't care about what everything around me are saying, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And then you are really honest, I want to do this. And this can be anything, you know. And I, as a coach, I don't have any opinion of this. I just see you, I hear you, I give you space, and I lift you up.
Elevate,
yeah, thank you. And I just like give you every emotion that you haven't received, because people around you, the society around you, and all those rules, they are all telling you what you, how you are supposed to be. And you are always, oh, this is not feeling right, because you're not listening to your values, and you're not using your strength, and you're not listening to what you really, really, really want. So it's amazing to see people come into a space and just see them crawl out of their shell and see them admit and say out loud things that, you know, the society, the rules, and the people that love you would not approve. And just see people just, you know, they sit differently, they sound differently. You can see their smile coming out because, oh, can I really say this? And I remember about one client of mine, I was asking him questions and he said, oh, you are one of those people who ask difficult questions, the questions that I have in my, I ask myself inside, but I don't answer out loud. And I was like, I don't know, am I? And and so it was really nice to see that man, you know, light up and be passionate about what he was really, really thinking. So we could move the needle a little bit towards what him finding out what he really, really wants. And so I love doing that, and I love seeing people flourish and grow, and then they start to give more because it's about that.
And the way you say it is about that, as you say, the change in the status quo. I think, generally speaking, as you said, when you're kids or young toddlers, we tend to give, you know, kids to give everything. And then little by little, the status quo change, and we are more expecting to give, receive more than give. Now, the way you understand is like the people that work with you or you work with them so that they can able to have this kind of the gratitude, the forgiveness and compassion that they are able to give first and to receive, right? But this is not, I mean, I guess people are quite not yet in a sense of thinking giving first.
No. And there is a good, it's a scientific fact behind that. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we tend to see what can be done better, what is wrong, what is bad, what is negative. It's called the negative bias. And when as a parent, you can watch your children and see, I mean, when they are very young, we see them start to walk and we see them to start to say our name or call mama and daddy and they say their first name and so on. And we are like, oh, so great, and motivate them. Yeah. And then we start to see what they are doing wrong. And the same goes in the company when you are I am of course talking about people that are, you know, very occupied of the three crossroads, and you know are surrounding and the rules and how you're supposed to be like this and that. You know, we have all the influence that are like bombarding on us every day, and so you start to see the people. And that's why the people love us so much, they're always telling us what to do. They want to help us. They are really doing their best. And can I tell a story?
Yes.
I think it's explain it best.
Sure. Okay.
So I have a daughter, and I tell this story a lot, so I have mm-hmm. her allowance to share it. I have a daughter who was yes. was a handful when I was growing up. She is today she's 18. Mm-hmm. And she was always doing something that just irritated me. And I was under a lot of stress, and I was always telling her to do things differently, which is not a good communication. And then we were watching a TV show, and she said, "Mom, can we do this?" And I watched the show with her and said, "Yeah, this is no problem. Let's do this." And it was about, it was actually, I don't know if you know it, it's a show called Super Nanny. It's a famous British TV show.
Yes.
It's about, and this super nanny was in a home, and she was helping a mother and a daughter, just like me and my daughter.
Yeah.
And she gave them an assignment, so basically an intervention assignment. And we went to IKEA, and we bought 10 artificial roses and a vase. And the assignment was like this. I was supposed to give her a rose every time she did something without me telling her to do it. Mm-hmm. Taking her clothes to the laundry basket.
Yeah.
So just basic stuff. And her assignment was to not let me know that she did something good. So,
okay.
And before that, our pattern was, I was like always, Christiana, do this, you forgot to do this, and you have to do this. And, you know, I was just ordering around every day, all day long. And then it went good, and all adults around my daughter was participating, her father, her grandparents, and the woman next door. We all were just like, this is a fun game, and we were giving her flowers. Every day, you did really good now. You put the dish in the dishing machine. I saw it. Thank you. And then one day I saw her. She was like, really, she couldn't sit still. And she was like, she really, really wanted to tell me something. And then I realized I did not take my part seriously in this assignment. I just wanted her to change her behavior.
But not you.
And And then it was a huge aha moment for me. But, oh my God, I need to see her and I need to appreciate what she's doing. Yeah. She's not doing this for me, but I was in that mindset before the intervention. And my daughter, who was like 5 or 6 back then, she saw it when we were watching the TV show, not I. I was like, okay, now my daughter taught me the biggest lesson. I need to watch out how I observe people around me, because everybody are trying to do their best. Everybody are doing their best. I was also trying to do my best when I was ordering her around and telling her about blah, blah, blah. But so that was a huge moment for me 12 years ago. And it basically turned my world upside down. And I just like, okay. And it was a long time before I learned about what negative bias is. But that's negative bias. You can easily tell people what they are doing wrong and how they should do things differently. But it's really hard to see when people are just doing what they are supposed to do and appreciate that, because why should I? She's supposed to do this. Why should I say thank you? And that's also the environment telling us to not be show gratitude for things that we just like, well, she's supposed to do this. Why should this? Yeah. So, and that's why I want to help people to give more, because this is giving. And then you are able to see people as they are, and everybody are wonderful. And I help people to see how wonderful you are. And it's okay to be really, oh, I did really good today. I mean, be proud of yourself when you do things that you're supposed to do. I mean, I woke up and I got dressed and I brushed my teeth and I did all the right things. And I can say, well done. Even if it was just, well, everybody is supposed to do this. Just be like, and it's then... Yeah, so as you can hear, I'm really passionate about this.
No. And it was a fantastic story to be heard. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear that story of you and your daughter. And I always say, even though you said she was young, she was able to see it, right? But we as an adult, we don't see it sometimes. Right? We do react. And we take it for granted for things, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, no? And that's, I think, when you're having your session with your clients, in that sense, it's a part of for you to give that kind of image back. What's the meaning of giving, really? I mean, that's the way I understand of your story.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So, I think we are just in a point of the world is in a turning point, and we see signs like the great resignation wave is coming. People are just realizing that they can want more, and they are not just giving what they are expected of them, but they also should get more appreciation for doing just what they are supposed to do. The professional background is always there, and I understand leaders who are looking at performance of their employees and such things. So I also go a lot inside the workplace and help people.
So that is very helpful for them, this story.
Yeah. So there's it's about
authenticity.
Yeah, and vulnerability, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, some English words are difficult for me.
So indeed, but that kind of gratitude, forgiveness, and this is, you see, maybe I also spend all my 30 years of my life in a corporate environment. Most of the time we look about how we address the negative, not the negative, areas of weaknesses, improvement, and areas of improvement, right? And I always say that when I was happening there, I was more, I said, why is that they have to look in the areas of improvement? If there are areas that they have already very good, let's work on what they're really good so we can make use it so we can do it better.
Yeah.
So if we look at the weaknesses and areas of improvement, well, maybe the person is not interested, he's not motivated, it takes time for him. Why don't we spend the time that way? He's very good and make it better. Picasso is good in painting. So let him paint as much as he can. You know, Van Gogh, all these things. So that's why I see it. So in this case, in Gibraltar, leadership in that sense, having this kind of thing, what is that kind of program, tools, or short, if you can give us some kind of example of how they can learn, how can they change in this kind of example that you're giving based on your story of your daughter?
This is a really good question because I am really advocating for people or leaders to look into positive leadership by positive psychology. And the cornerstone of that is, or the values of that leadership strategy is positivity, of course. Predictability. Everything can be predictable.
Okay.
So, and high performance. This is not about being like a Pollyanna. It's about you can do more than you think. But let's do it with positivity and be creative. Everybody are equal. So we go into positive we are always like, there are companies that don't want too much profit or don't want too much innovation because there are investors that will not invest in companies that they are not following the golden middle way. So it's just study positive leadership, and there are a lot of great stories about there where you can take a project and use positive leadership, and maybe the timeline for the project was 30 years, and when you used positive leadership, you could finish it in only 7 years.
Oh.
Because we motivated the people to go into the positive deviation instead of negative deviation. So, and that's also about giving. It's also about forgiveness, compassion, and gratitude. So there's no competition. I mean, if you are my employee and you have better idea than I, we're going to use yours.
So when you're saying the positive biases or in a positive approach.
Yeah.
Knowing is positive, the outcome will be faster, stronger. Is that
what? Yeah. I can't remember the story in details, but there is a famous story from positive leadership that there was a nuclear power plant that was closing down in America. And there's a lot of waste, negative waste. And so on the ground and for the place or the, where the plant was. And there was an estimation that it would take 40 years. Don't take my numbers seriously, but it was around, it was decades. It would take this long time to take this power plant down and make sure everything was okay, so we could give the land back to the future generations. And with the positive leadership approach, they were able to do it in a lot less time, with a lot less money, and everybody wins. So it's a
win-win situation.
I would say you should, if you are interested in leadership, whoever is listening, should just Google positive leadership.
Okay.
And it's a short book about it, and the story is inside, and it's about positive deviation and negative deviation. And it's also about there are no weaknesses.
Okay.
And yeah, so just be in love with the problem.
Be in love with the problem, you said?
Yeah, not the outcome. Problem. Yeah, because if we are often just, our mind is sometimes to stick to the outcome.
Yes.
That, but if we would just shift our attention to the problem and just see the problem is not the problem, it's just an assignment, and then you can start to love it. And but there's always a middle ground, so you always have to be moving. So be in the positive vision of the problem, not in the negative deviation. Is the English word.
Yeah.
Positive deviation and negative deviation. But if we are always trying to be in the middle, and that's why everything takes a long time and cost a lot more. But if you try to go a little bit in the positive deviation, then you are trying harder, and then you can go faster, and then you can do more, and you can give more.
I like the way you're sharing the story today, and I appreciate it. The two things I'm getting is more about the first part was the gratitude, forgiveness, and compassion about the give, and the story about you and your daughter, personal story about that. And now it's another one, which is the positive leadership, the positive negative deviation.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Love. And it's all about love. Yeah.
Exactly. And you embrace the love. You know?
Yeah.
And the way I understand it is like there's always a positive leadership means this kind of how to appreciate more of things and embrace what this has to be embraced, instead of rather going to deviate your attention to the negative side. So for today, if you don't mind, I will take the title of the quote of tonight of our call or our talk today is positive leadership, the positive negative deviation.
Okay.
And this, I think it's the first time I touched that in one of my episodes. And for the listeners, or for us, or the listeners' audience that would be listening, that to take into account what is the positive leadership is there. There's a lot of leaders out there. There's a lot of leadership scores, though. But this positive leadership, hey, why not, right? That's what I get.
Yeah, I believe it will broaden the horizon on what leadership is and make you more humble. And we need more humble. Humbleness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we're reaching our end of our session here. And I really appreciate your sharing. I would like to ask, how would you like to wrap up your episode?
Oh, just thank you, Francisco, for giving me the chance to come here and ask me difficult questions that I have been asking myself. It's all about that, to be able to answer them out loud with another person. So thank you. And if anyone wants to talk to me about it, just reach out. I would love to connect.
No, definitely, definitely. And this is the one of the purpose of our episode of hashtag we talk on Mondays, hashtag from coach to coach, hashtag we talk on Mondays, is that people should be listening what are the professional coach we have there. And we are different in all sense. Right? And there is always some kind of interest that we can create towards the listeners for them to approach and have them figure out what's the best for them. That's what I always do. Thank you very much, Ingeborg. Ingeborg, I hope I was able to pronounce your name.
Ingeborg.
Ingeborg.
Or Inka. You can't say Inka.
Inka, that's for sure. Thank you again for that story of yours. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Well, dear listeners, dear audience, good morning, good day, good evening. This was another episode of hashtag from coach to coach, hashtag we talk on Mondays. This is your host, Francisco. Until then, stay safe. Thank you.